Kardashian says her and sister Khloe aren't close anymore. Jesus be offended.
And we have a dish debate that might have you entertaining love on lockdown.
Also, we'll all go head-to-head in a game called Holly Jolly Dishmas, testing our Christmas movies knowledge. Mm-hmm.
Welcome to Dish Nation, y'all.
Hey!
And back in the building, we have our homie, actress, singer, and America's favorite sister. Jesse Wu is in the building.
Hey, y'all. So I'm so excited to be back dishing with y'all during Christmas time.
Mm-hmm. I know. Yeah.
And this time around, I think I should kick the show off.
Is that what you think?
Yeah.
Let's go, girl.
Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas.
Yes. So, I'm going to kick it off for y'all. So, America's favorite besties, Oprah and Gail, gave us fans some food for thought as the two ladies sat luxuriating on Oprah's sprawling Montecito lawn. The two ladies pondered how could one person have 10 friends. Listen to this.
Do y'all have at least 10 friends? I think that's pretty incredible.
If I had to come up with 10... And not relatives,
friends,
not relatives,
but close friends. That would be.
I don't think I could. Come
that would
up with
that would be challenging because for me, a friend is the ride or die, and the friend is the person who's going to tell you the truth, no matter what. Do you remember what's the
doesn't
most
betray your secrets?
Doesn't betray
ever.
Ever.
No tells matter. You when you're wrong.
Tells you when you're wrong.
Sometimes repeatedly.
I really like this format of like just Oprah out here just pondering life in her giant yard.
Yeah.
Right. Sitting on a giant 400-year-old stone or something.
I love it.
Can you rich and bored?
Okay.
Yeah, right?
Do you guys have 10 real friends?
I do have 10 real friends. Because they're from different pockets of my life.
Exactly.
And, you know, and there's certain people that you, like, hang out with all the time. That these are your, like, you know, regular rotation friends.
Yeah. Right.
Then you got your sandbox homies.
True.
Hopefully you're still cool with them. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then you got people who you maybe do, like, you know, creative things with.
True.
That you tight with, too.
Mm-hmm.
That,
yeah.
That's beyond a work relationship.
Really? I don't have 10 friends that I hang out with all the time.
Probably not, but it's like what Headcrack just said.
Yeah, he said, like, hang out all the time with them. I don't have that many. I mean, I have friends that I talk to, you know, because I live here and some of them live in Texas.
Sure.
In other places, so I don't hang out with them all the time.
Yeah. Do you guys feel like it's hard to find friends, like, within this industry? So that's why you lean more on your sandbox homies? Gary, I thought we was friends, but, you know, we don't really be hanging out like that.
I know.
Is it because we in the industry?
A guy was on Oprah's show had said this once. He said, honey, he worked in TV for, like, 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
And when he lost his job, honey, everybody was gone. So Oprah said, well, where were your friends? He said, oh, those were TV friends.
Ooh.
They weren't friends, you
yeah.
know?
So,
you
know, he lost them too.
Yeah, exactly. So that's why I'm scared to get too close to people because I don't want to say, well, we friends. And then, after I lose my job, bitch, you fade to black.
But what about the people from your past, though?
Right.
Oh, yeah, my past friends, we have friends. Like, I have a friend that I was in a relationship with. We're no longer together, but we're still friends.
Okay.
Because I want to make sure that person do well in life.
Oh, right. That's so sweet.
So, you know,
that's
it was on that day that the Grinch got a heart.
Right.
All right, you guys, honey. Now, Kourtney Kardashian Barker, honey, said that she's not that close to her baby sister, Khloe, anymore, honey. And this is so sad.
Oh.
Yes, Gary, there used to be two peas in a pod. But a while back, Kourt said she felt a little left out because both Kimmy Cakes and Coco had kids around the same time. Kourt also said, that's when I was unhappy with the show. Partially because of Khloe and Kim kind of ganging up on me. I felt like it was almost everything that Khloe and I'd done to Kim, and then they were kind of like flipping it on me.
That's exactly how she sounds.
That's how siblings go sometimes, I think. Especially when we got three of you, you
it's
know.
It's a lot of them.
Yeah. Goes back and forth, different team ups.
Yeah, me and my siblings ain't really that close right now.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It happens.
It's four of us. It's like, I think it just, we have our seasons. Like, one season, they're like, I feel like every season there's one favorite.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm always the least favorite.
Jesus.
Why is that?
I think I'm the oldest, so I feel like, the oldest child always bears the brunt of a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I got the roughest childhood. Like, my mama actually used to, like, beat me. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
We but all got beatings,
but they didn't. I got the roots.
You got it. Wow.
Damn, kids, it can't take.
Well, all right, y'all, it's time for it.
Dish debate!
So someone posted, I'd rather a man have a felony than a baby mama. So Jesse and Gary, do you guys agree?
I totally agree.
What would you rather have?
I totally agree.
Would he have the felony because of his baby mama?
Yeah. Oh, Lord.
I think I'd rather have a baby mama.
No.
Especially in my case, because honey, girl, don't bother me. But honey, you know, a felon, I'd be scared to sleep with his ass. Yeah.
I've had baby mama drama before, and it's like, girl, they be too pressed. Like, girl, like, like, I had one girl, she thought I was trying to be her son's, like, next mom. Like,
don't call him.
Yeah. I'm like, girl, I'm reading to your son. I'm trying to put him to bed so I can put his daddy to bed, too. Okay. Yes, mama. Okay, so what's, like, an okay felony?
Not
like
paying assault. Child support.
Assault isn't okay. Yeah.
Is assault an okay?
I mean, no, assault, like,
people get my order wrong a lot. I be wanting to assault the people at the places I go and get food from.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's fair. You're not yourself when you're angry.
Okay, felony is stealing. Maybe white collar crime.
Damn, he might steal something out of my purse.
Or your whole identity.
You know what? You give me the baby mama. Yeah. You know what? Yeah, no, I'll take the baby mama for $300, Alex. Yeah. Well, if all you want for Christmas is happiness, you can get there with just four simple words.
What four words?
Well, Gary, Inc.com recently highlighted a speech that billionaire Warren Buffett gave over 20 years ago at the University of Florida's Business School. In that speech, he described happiness in these four words. Do what you love.
Ah.
Very simple.
It's tricky because, like, sometimes you do see people who've reached the highest levels of success, and then a lot of times they'll sort of give out, like, generically positive sounding advice. Yeah. And sometimes it's hard to find out, like, how does that really apply to me, though? Like, you're worth $1 billion, Warren Buffett, you know?
Okay. I've never heard a homeless person say, do what you love.
Yeah.
Never.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's usually the people who got it popping in life that have this cool. Money isn't everything, says Warren Buffett.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, you gave me that speech from your private jet.
Exactly. Right. My first job was at Victoria's Secret's folding thongs. Yeah. I used to hate that. Because I would fold them so nicely, and then the people just come and mess up the damn thongs all the time. And I got to refold them. They were, you know, like, come on now. And then with thongs, I would start, and then, oh my God. Some of the women would come in there and try on the thongs
and put them back.
See, I just throw them away.
With all that juice.
With all that juice just going on the thong, and then I got to fold it up.
Does anybody else
always wash your Victoria's Secrets. Always wash your underwear, ladies.
Don't
try to thang
thongs. That's the real secret. Okay. Some of them might be dirty.
Yeah.
All right, y'all, moving on. Mila Kunis credits her older That 70s Show co-stars for being good role models.
Okay.
All right? So Mila was 14 years old at the time she landed the role of Jackie Burkhart on the sitcom, and she told reporters that things could have turned out differently for her if her co-stars, who were between 18 and 20 at the time, were a little wilder. Take a look.
The reason I don't do drugs, the reason I didn't get into drugs, all of that was because nobody on the set did. And I looked up to them at 14, and so the trajectory of my career or my life could have gone any which way, but it didn't. It was like, the set was cool. It was like they played poker on Friday nights and they drank beer, and I was like, ooh, cool.
So what y'all think about that? You think you learn a lot from the people you work with, especially if they're a few years older?
Definitely, because like I was always younger than everybody I was around, because even in school, because my parents like forced some paperwork, so I'd go to school a year early. Mm-hmm. So I was always like influenced by older people, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So that's kind of like, it helped shape my worldview.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Jesse, who do you look up to on Wildin' Out?
You know what, on Wildin' Out, I look up to Carlos Miller. Who is
He's
that?
Solid. Yeah.
Carlos Miller!
Cool, laid back. 85 South Show.
85 South.
Young Fly.
Okay, Young Fly.
Yes.
Chico Bean. What they've done from Wildin' Out and then been able to create 85 South, they sell out stadiums.
Yes, like, they do.
You know what I mean? So they're actually bigger than Wildin' Out, to be honest. They still do it because they love it, but they've built such a bigger brand. So
I
see myself doing that one day.
Well, up next, we got a disc game that will test your knowledge of your favorite Christmas movies. So come right back.
Oh, Lord.
Dish Nation. Dish Nation.
Welcome back.
Hey.
Now, since it's almost Christmas, we're going to play a game called Holly Jolly Dishes.
Okay.
Now, it's going to be testing your knowledge on some of the most beloved Christmas movies of all time.
Uh-oh.
So we're going to keep it super simple. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give you a fun fact about a specific Christmas movie or character, and the first person to guess it correctly gets the point.
Hmm.
All right, y'all ready?
Oh, boy. Oh, yeah. I feel some pressure on this because games get serious.
Oh, especially in this room, man. Knives came out.
Oh, yeah, baby.
All right.
All right, so This classic holiday film was released in May because 20th Century Fox thought more people went to the movies in summer. So it's a miracle it made any money.
Miracle on 34th Street.
That's correct. Miracle on 34th Street. Brad's in the game with 1 point. All right, moving on to the next one. This beloved animal character who has a song written about him.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Frosty the Snowman.
Tanner got it. Boom.
Yeah.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
You didn't even let him finish the question.
For everybody at home, let me finish the question. So this beloved animal character who has a song written about him would have turned red in embarrassment because he was almost called Reginald or Rollo, which doesn't have the same thing.
Rudolph.
I love the way you cheat. Now, this movie was filmed during the summer heat wave, and though it may be required holiday viewing now, it was a total flop when it was released back in 1946.
1946?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Total flop?
A Christmas Story.
Nah, anybody else got one?
It's a Beautiful Life?
Ooh, you on the block, but you got to circle around just a little bit more.
Every time a bell ring, an angel gets his wings.
Is that a movie?
The Grinch That Stole Christmas?
Nah.
It's a Beautiful Life?
Oh. You can't say it like in a different format. Man, it was one of the most wonderful movies.
A Wonderful time. Christmas.
A Wonderful Life?
Holiday.
It's a wonderful life.
A Wonderful Life.
Oh. There you go. All right, Tana got two. Brad got one. All right, this next one. A former anchorman ate so much sugar while filming this movie, he had trouble sleeping at night.
Frosty the Snowman.
Now you know damn.
Former anchorman ate so much sugar at night, he had trouble sleeping?
Yeah.
This is hard.
A former...
And this is a modern classic.
This is an Elf, is it?
It is Elf.
Hey! Oh! We got three.
Never
we need a Kwanzaa movie.
Where the black movies at?
Speaking of candy, that was the last name of this actor who shot all of his scenes for this Christmas movie in one long 23-hour day, but he wasn't alone.
Home Alone, John Candy.
You know, because you're so far ahead, y'all said at the same time, I'm going to slide that one to Jesse.
Thank you.
Fair enough.
Okay. Yay.
All right. So as it stands right now, Jesse got one, Brad got one, Tanner has three?
Yep.
Gary, are you awake?
Real Jehovah Witness.
A little humbug.
This movie, which included a joke about a phone number, 1-800-SPANK-ME, caused problems when viewers found out it was a real phone sex hotline.
Wait. Oh, wait. This is a Christmas movie?
Yes.
Did this come out like a year or two ago?
Nah. Now, the other clue is there's been two more movies in the franchise, and maybe it's tool time for a fourth one?
The Santa Claus.
Boom.
Yo, these hints are out there.
These are white people movies.
These are very white movies. These are very, very white movies.
I ain't never seen whatever he just said.
What about the movie with Chris Brown and that man? This Christmas. Yeah, like.
Die Hard? That's my Christmas movie.
Die Hard is a Christmas movie.
Well, congratulations, Tanner. You're the winner. Speech.
Wow. It's very much a white Christmas, evidently. Oh, the joy of all joys. Coming up next, Shania Twain probably is one of Oprah's closest friends. We'll tell you why after the break.
This wasn't fair for Jehovah's Witness.
Or black people.
Yeah.
Dish Nation. Dish Nation.
Welcome back, y'all.
Hey.
Dennis Rodman may be an all-star and NBA legend, but when it comes to his former teammate, Shaquille O'Neal, he was the worst teammate ever.
Okay.
Oh, Lord. Shaq said, well, you know what, HK, you go ahead and do the honors.
Sure. So we had to be there an hour for the game. He come in 15 minutes before the game eating a big-ass plate of chicken and rice. And while the coaches were talking, he would jump in the shower. After that, he scored like 15 to 20 rebounds. He was a great player. He just made it hard.
That's exactly how he talks.
Okay.
Isn't it crazy how somebody like Dennis Rodman's one of the greats, and he can still pull it off?
Some people are just phenoms.
Yeah.
And there's no way to describe or explain like how they do the things that they do. Like, they just come off the bench ready to cook.
Yeah.
Like, do you think he would have been better if he did everything that the coach wanted him to do and showed up on time and ate the strict diet?
He seemed like a reverse polarity dude. Like, yo, just do the opposite of what everybody else is doing and you'll be fine, bro.
Right.
Wait, Jesse, who's the... Yeah. Who's the Dennis Rodman of Wild 'N Out?
I would say it is Emmanuel Hudson.
Really?
Yes. Yeah, so before we start shooting, we do these workshops where it's just a refresher. We play the games or whatever. And Emmanuel can make it real hard on you. Nobody really makes him follow the rules during that because he's a veteran. Like, he's been there forever. So he's going to come at you how he wants to come at you.
So who's the Dennis Rodman of Dish Nation?
You.
Yeah, you got to show up for like a minute before we supposed to start filming and stuff like that. Like, and it's always an exciting excuse. Like, yo, what happened, man?
Yeah, but I mean, when you be on time, I'm a stickler for time, don't get me wrong. Mm. But I mean, but sometimes I might get a flat tire, and I mean.
Wait, don't you walk
again?
Okay.
No.
Right.
But I got to watch prices right before I come to work.
Right.
So, I mean, I plead a fifth.
Yeah, it is what it is, Gary.
So I'm sure everyone here would love to have dinner with Oprah, right?
Yes, of course.
Absolutely. Well, imagine getting the opportunity to go out and eat at a fancy restaurant with the Queen of Talk herself, only to ruin it.
No.
Oh, y'all. Unfortunately for country star Shania Twain, that's exactly what she did.
Oh.
When asked about the dinner, Shania had this to say. It was great. I just didn't have real talks. But as soon as we started talking about religion, it all went sour. So I said, let's stop talking about religion. Shania also said, I like to debate, but when it came to Oprah, there was no room for debate.
Yeah. Now every time I see a picture of Shania Twain, I'm going to hear that voice. You ain't going to win no debates, don't you?
No, but that's sad, though.
What?
That woman went to have dinner with Oprah, and Oprah just sitting there talking about religion. That's not
that's
real.
That's how we don't like
talking. It probably started when they blessed the food, and then, like,
so let's talk about Jesus. Jesus, I'm your sure Lord and Savior.
Leads every conversation.
Well, also, what an odd couple. Like, I would never have guessed in a million years that Shania Twain and Oprah were out grabbing a dinner.
Yeah. Well, maybe Oprah wanted Shania to make a gospel country song.
Exactly. Like, have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior yet? Let's go ahead and get a Christian country album going.
Right, exactly.
Come on, howdy.
That's it right there.
Howdy Jesus, dropping tune by Shania Twain.
All right, man, stick around. Coming up next, did The Rock make a grown man cry? We got the details right after the break.
Dish Nation. Dish Nation.
All right, y'all, Dwayne The Rock Johnson is loved all over the world, but when he was in Mexico, he might have came across his biggest fan. Take a look at this video he shared of the encounter.
It happens.
No, but I love a lot of celebrities, but they would make me cry. Now I cry for you, Brad.
Like every day?
That's a damn lie.
Yo, why does this guy's Apple Watch look like he's running the marathon, though?
His heart rate went up. He got excited.
His heart about to win the gold medal in the race. You know what I'm saying?
He's about to need the ambulance.
Oh, my.
Ooh, The Rock is so fine, though. I'd probably cry, too.
Yeah. Like, I emote on the inside a lot. So, like, I met the first time, I met Mike Tyson. I was like,
oh.
Inside, like, I was the guy. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Real smooth.
How do you keep your cool?
I use you in fight night, bro. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? But then when I met Run DMC when I was, like, a teenager, like, whoa.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, I mean, it's just like, man, like, you know, you grew up watching these people and to, like, be face-to-face with them. It's just wild, man. So, and when you think about the fandom of wrestling and how fanatical people
crazy.
Are.
Yes.
It's soap opera for men.
No.
So, meet your heroes like that, I get it.
Tanner cried when he first met me.
That's true. That's true.
He's still crying.
Thanks for checking out Dish Nation on Audio Boom. Make sure you listen to any episodes you may have missed. They're right down below, or maybe they're over there. Just scroll up. Look, you'll find it. If you like what you heard, share it with your friends. Even share it with your enemies. Either way, share it.